What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Formula America podcast. We're your host, Curt and Dylan, and we're here to talk about all the shenanigans that took place in Shanghai this weekend. I thought it was kind of cool. I think that this weekend caught a lot of teams and a lot of drivers out, kind of caught them with their pants down, and I enjoyed that.
Yes.
Well, not that
I also think
down,
a couple of teams excelled this weekend that we didn't really expect.
Yes, there was. I would say that, you know, most teams kind of got taken by surprise, but some teams actually really did rise to the top. And I thought it was, you know, pretty interesting and pretty good to see.
It was. And I mean, we got one practice and went straight into the sprint shootout, which was, I thought, really good.
Yeah. The sprint shootout was odd, especially the SQ3. Oh my God.
Yeah. It was pure insanity. The rain was coming in. Somehow Logan Sargeant didn't put it into a wall at any point. And then Q3. the rain like started coming down. It was not letting up. It was up to whoever had the cojones to put a lap in the rain, and looked like Lewis Hamilton, looked like Alonso had it. Then it looked like Hamilton had it. And then Norris had it, got it taken away and then given back again.
Yeah.
It was kind of chaos, but it was a free for all.
It was probably the most exciting quali session I've seen all year, probably in a while. Just the fact that everyone was just slipping and sliding all over the place and, you know, cars going off here and there.
And I like the sprint shootout format with the shortened time. Like, you compare that to GP quali, and quali seems so long. I like how fast and furious the sprint shootout is.
For sure. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was great. We have a crazy kind of starting lineup for the sprint itself with Lewis Hamilton and Lando Norris locking out the front row, Max starting P4. One thing I did want to point out from sprint quality, the shootout, is both Saubers made it through to SQ3.
Yeah, that was wild to see. Finally, it's like, did they get it together?
Yeah, that lime green car going around the track is hard to miss. But I thought the sprint was pretty good. It kind of very quickly went to business as usual. With Max, you know, taking it easy off the start, not getting taken out, and then just blowing everybody's doors off and sailing off into the distance, going a second a lap faster than second place.
Yeah, I know. Especially at that start, man, it was heartbreak for Lando Norris trying to stick it around the outside and just got pushed a little bit wide off to the, you know, where there's no traction out there, and just completely blew the start at that point.
You know what I felt about Lando Norris this weekend? You remember in 2021, Max Verstappen was like a rabid animal. He was either going to do everything he could to win, or he was going to take half the field out in the process. And while Lando is much more kind of refined than that, when Max won the 2021 World Championship in 22, we had a different driver. The monkey was off his back. He was all of a sudden more mature, making better decisions, not taking out half the pack. I feel like Lando's kind of in that transition where he is so hungry for that win that he is starting to drive a little bit more erratically, and to try his hardest to get the win, which is starting to hurt him in some ways. Yeah. And it's like, I need him to get that win and let the best Lando come through.
Exactly. Yeah. You could tell it's right there, but you know, it's got to be frustrating. Actually, Nico Rosberg had a good quote on Lando this weekend. He was saying that with Lando, he's more of a glasses half empty kind of guy. He's very pessimistic. And we got to see, you know, skipping ahead a little bit, at the end of the race, he was saying that he bet his engineer they were going to be, I think it was something ridiculous, like 20 seconds behind the Ferraris or whatever.
Yeah.
But you always see that with him. He's very, like, very pessimistic. And it's like, come on, a little positivity would go a long way. Just a little shift in mindset a little bit. But I think a result of that is, you know, him going however 100 plus Grand Prix, not getting a victory, coming so close, especially in Sochi when he didn't come in for the wet tires or the intermediate tires and just blew it all right there. And so, yeah, he needs to get that monkey off his back, like you said, so he can relax and just be, you know, top of the line, you know, Lando
good driver that he is.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, so that was kind of heartbreaking, and there was really no recovery after that. He fell down to P7, and I think worked his way up. He finished P6.
Yep.
Man, the Mercedes looked okay in the sprint. which was kind of, you know, compared to how they went in the race, they were looking pretty strong, actually. I was pretty impressed with them until GP quali.
Oh, there was a small part in the sprint. It might have lasted about half a lap, but a small part where I was like, Lewis Hamilton could potentially win. It's like, it's not a race win, but it would still be a win. And then Max Verstappen came in. That was quickly dashed, any hopes of that. But for a second there, I was like, Lewis might actually win this. But yeah, but they looked like they had a little bit of pace, at least on, you know, Saturday.
Yeah. And then Alonso got taken out of the sprint, DNF'd, which I think kind of skews his weekend a little bit because he was definitely going to score some points. But overall, I didn't think the sprint was anything crazy, which I was hoping was going to lead to a little bit crazier of a Grand Prix.
Yeah. And Zhou Guanyu almost scored points. He was P9. He was one place out of the points in his home crowd, which was phenomenal every time he came by, which we've all seen how it is for Checo in Mexico and Max in Zandvoort and all that. But man, this Chinese fans, it was crazy anytime Zhou Guanyu was out on the track or coming by.
Yeah, it was awesome to watch. And in the sprint, you know, Zhou Guanyu and Bottas didn't have the pit crew to worry about screwing the race.
That pit anxiety, which I'm sure both of them have. They didn't have to worry about that. Anytime they hear box, box, they're like, oh, shit.
You know, Bottas has to have total PTSD between Mercedes and Sauber. He's got to have the record for most DNFs due to pits. But it was a good sprint. I thought things went well. You know, the Ferraris didn't look crazy fast, but neither really did the McLarens. It was like, I don't know, it's up in the air. And then we go to GP quali and we have a surprise Lewis Hamilton exit Q1.
Oh man, P8, what was it? Yeah, 18. That was Lewis Hamilton, Yuki Tsunoda, Logan Sargeant, and K-Mag.
The mostly usual suspects, but
the normal crowd plus Lewis. When Yuki hasn't really been there much this
Yuki
year.
Had an awful weekend. It was that poor bad. Guy. It was a weekend for Danny to kind of reestablish himself and a weekend to forget for Yuki.
For sure, yeah. After last week's high or the last race's high.
But I mean, it was from there is kind of business as usual through that quali, and you know, we have a Red Bull front lockout, and then we get to the race. Like,
so the race start I thought was awesome because you got to see Alonso got an incredible start. He qualified, you know, third position in both the sprint quali and the GP quali.
Yeah,
off the line, immediately got rid of Checo and then stuck it on the outside and gave Lando a front row show of how to actually stick it on the outside. Like, this is how it's done, kid. But man, I keep saying it. I am becoming the biggest Alonso fan. Just watching him race, it's incredible. Just like,
it's hard it's pure not mastery. To love him. It's so good to watch. And he's so happy. You can just hear him listening to Katy Perry and smiling as he drives around the track. He might not be a T-Swizzle fan after apparently there's some Aston Martin lyrics in one of his new songs.
There is an Aston Martin lyric, and I like how people are changing it because it's something about I'm an Aston Martin driving into a tree or whatever, and they change it to I'm an Aston in an Aston Martin driving into Ricardo.
But yeah, I mean, I totally agree. The start was awesome. Alonso was awesome. It was so good to watch that. And then we kind of settled into the race and, you know, it was really a McLaren-Ferrari battle. It was a lot of fun kind of watching the strategies in those teams. You know, I think Ferrari went down to plan Q pretty quick and ended up coming back around to plan W. And
with Ferrari, we got to see a resurgence of old Ferrari for sure, because there was multiple times where radio messages were, we are checking, which they had kind of gotten away from. I think they've gotten so much backlash, they got away from it. But that came back this weekend. And then you hear them talking about plan D as in Delta. And it's like, what is going on? Are we back in 2023 all of a sudden? But yeah, Ferrari all weekend though, just they went from solidly being the second fastest car on the track to kind of sliding in that no man's land now between, you know, McLaren and Mercedes, really. And well, so I mean, they just weren't on it.
It just really shows how behind Red Bull, nothing is for certain. I mean, we had a McLaren beat a Red Bull yesterday. Norris, second place by, like, merit. It wasn't a problem with Sergio's car. He started, like, Lando got on merit, and he beat that Red Bull by 4.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, wow, McLaren showed up today. But are they going to show up in Miami, or as far are you going to show up in Miami? Like, I think that it's there's so many inconsistencies. Red Bull's got it really well. Max Verstappen has it really well figured out. Behind him, I think, is anyone's game.
Yeah, and I think that's what it comes down to, is the midfield and even just the rest of the field other than Red Bull is so inconsistent.
Yeah,
like Red Bull is just always consistently on it. And especially with Max, everybody else has, you know, highs and lows, ebbs and flows. So, I mean, it's at this point, it's just who's going to be the most consistent out of everybody else.
Yeah, I totally agree. And then Mercedes this weekend was just, I mean, I don't think I heard George Russell's name a single time the entire way. I mean, he finished P6, but it wasn't, he was kind of driving in no man's land half the time. And all we heard from Lewis was him complaining about what a shit box the Mercedes was the whole weekend.
yeah, exactly. George Russell was just kind of there. George Russell did well.
Yeah.
He didn't make any waves, but yeah, he was just kind of there. Very quiet, and man, Lewis is very vocal. He is not biting his tongue whatsoever.
No, you know they've got to be in the back being like, bro, shut up. And he's like, I don't care. I'm leaving.
With him and Toto, both of them are just super pessimistic right now, but I know he's so happy to get out of that seat.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. Yeah, I'm kind of looking down my notes, and I've got Alonso racecraft so good. Mercedes really struggling. Max is 1 second per lap faster. Max is now 20 seconds ahead of everybody else. He's so fast. And then we get to the safety cars. The safety cars about the midway point really kind of shook things up. I don't think a ton of fun. And there were some interesting calls with pits. Everyone diving in. Who was taking the pit stops? Alonso comes out on a soft tire. Everyone else is spread between mediums and hards. It was kind of crazy, and all because Bottas's car, you know, Ferrari power unit failure first, and then the marshals couldn't get it off the track, couldn't get it into neutral.
That for me was the funny part, because they're just all like pushing buttons on the steering wheel. A couple of them are just cranking on the back wing, just trying to like yank it backwards. I'm sure the team is just sitting there. It's like, oh, Jesus, please just stop.
Don't push on that, please.
But yeah, what's surprising is that's one of the few Ferrari powertrain failures that we've had so far this season.
It is.
They've made a huge step in reliability.
Yeah, they really, really have. So we finally, you know, get the race restart, and Lance Stroll.
Okay.
Go ahead. I don't even have to say. Everyone knows my opinion, but please, Kurt.
Lance Stroll.
Don't hold back.
All right, so first off, I want to start by saying that last year we did a podcast. It was called the Unpopular Opinions Pod. And my
it was a pretty popular podcast, too.
Yeah. My unpopular opinion was Lance Stroll is not that bad of a driver. I would like to go back and change that.
Formally.
This guy, formally, I want to start a petition to have Lance Stroll physically and finally removed from Formula One and all Formula One activities. He needs to be restrained and restricted from ever touching a Formula One car again. This guy is an absolute menace. He's just, I don't understand. And Ricardo is very justifiably furious at this guy. Like, I've never seen Danny get upset like that before. And
he was pissed.
Bro, Danny was upset. When he found out in that interview that Lance Stroll called him an idiot and said it was his fault, like, you could see, like, he was kind of smiling, but he had that look in his eyes.
The honey badger was lurking.
Exactly. Like, everybody, like, if you don't know what an actual honey badger is, it's like cute little animal, but it's ferocious and will rip your face off. And I believe that side needs to come out. But yeah, Lance Stroll, man, it was ridiculous. Danny was on for the best weekend of his season.
He's got so points far. In the bag. He was in 10th.
He was very much in contention for some points, and at a time where he's fighting for his life. And so he needed this weekend. He outqualified Yuki in both sessions. He outperformed him in the sprint, and he was outperforming him in the race. And then out of nowhere, here comes Lance Stroll, who is completely aloof and just like looking off in the distance, and then just creams like right into the back of Danny, throws Danny into Piastri, ruined both of their races, and he gets a 10-second penalty for it.
While blaming them for my favorite part is he was like, that guy just brake checked me. You mean while everyone was stopping for the turn? There's a Lance, I don't know if you know that there's a hairpin turn there, and you can't take that at 120. You have to slow down.
Dude, this guy.
And in the interview afterwards, it was hilarious. He was like, you know, oh, it's just one of those Constantina effects. He was like, you know, someone up ahead of Danny hit the brakes for some reason, and it just, you know, accordioned everyone up. And, you know, that's what happened. I guess because I was the last guy that hit somebody, I get a penalty. It was like, yeah, they were stopping for a turn. You idiot.
You're the only guy that hit somebody right then.
You weren't even looking at Danny. That was what everyone pointed out. You were looking at Max, seeing if he was going yet, just rear-ended everyone.
All I know is Lance Stroll's reign of terror needs to come to an end. This is too much. But then, so he winds up getting a 10-second penalty. When this happened, Nico Hülkenberg goes around Ricardo, even though it's technically still under safety car, it's allowed because there was an incident. I think it's like
Article
55.8, right? So Danny sees this and he's like, well, I'm going to take my spot back. So then Danny repasses Nico, still under a safety car. So now because of that, Danny gets a 10-second penalty, but since he retired, it now translates to a 3-place grid penalty in the sprint in Miami. And so not only did it ruin this race, now it messed up his chances in the sprint because of, you know, what happened afterwards. The only good side about this is it brought about a half lap of excitement with K-Mag and Lance Stroll, the two guys with the 10-second penalties, the two guys that ruined V-Carb's day going at it for about half a lap. Yeah,
we can't skip over the fact that K-Mag was like, oh, cool, check out Yuki right there. How about a puncture?
Yeah, and just right deuces into the side.
There goes Yuki's race. But yeah, there was some phenomenal wheel to wheel racing between the two kamikazes in the back.
it's ridiculous, man. We need to get on them too in a second on Haas. But the other thing that I want to note is I think it's interesting that V-Carb, which they came out, if you watch the pre-race, the commentators said that the team has requested that they refer to them as V-Carb now instead of RB or Racing Bulls. I guess Visa and Cash App got upset that their name
they want their sponsorship to be mentioned.
Oh, Lance Stroll, man.
What are we going to do? Not a phenomenal, not even, that was awful from him. And meanwhile, you have Alonso doing incredible things with that Aston Martin. I mean, he blew the doors off of Lewis Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that for has got to be embarrassing for Mercedes, that your customer team, who has historically not been that well, jogged on by you like you didn't exist.
Yeah.
And I thought Aston Martin did a bad decision putting Alonso on those softs. He didn't make any time up. Nobody else was pitting. And he still made it back up into the points, like with a pit stop. Alonso was on one this weekend.
Yeah, and it did seem like a strange decision, but I was looking into it, and Alonso in an interview afterwards was saying that they didn't have another set of hard tires.
Yeah.
So either they were going to go soft medium or medium soft. And so, yeah, it seemed like a strange decision. He did okay on the softs, and then when they pitted him, he went back down to P11 and then just drove like a madman back up to P7. You know, if there was, you know, he was pretty far behind Russell, but he was still taking chunks out of Russell too.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, Aston Martin was on it. Well, one Alonso half of Aston Martin was on it this weekend. Hopefully with all, because there's been, especially in social media, tons of flack for Lance Stroll now. Hopefully this has reignited within probably the financial backers of the team that they need to do something.
Bro, we're going to get the Spanish Armada. I'm calling
it. I want to see that so bad. I was thinking about that. That would be, for me, the most exciting pairing. I would come out draped in Aston Martin green
if you
had Carlos Sainz and Fernando Alonso together at the same team.
That would be so much fun. But yeah, after that, I mean, the race was kind of business as usual. We had Lando Norris ahead of Perez, ahead of Leclerc and Sainz, and Max Verstappen way off in the distance. And, you know, no Alpines in the points. So kind of business as usual.
I did think it was pretty funny. I've got Lance on the brain right now. Max Verstappen afterwards was saying that he told GP to look on the onboards when he went around that last turn and he drifted it a little bit there. He's like, he said he was so far out in front, he wanted to have a little fun with it. It's just like, this guy's incredible, man.
Did you see the cool down room when they showed Alonso or Stroll rear ending Ricardo? Max's reaction of like, holy shit. He was like, I know I'm on camera and shouldn't be doing anything, but did you guys see that?
It's the open secret that in Formula One that this guy's an idiot.
His face is dumb. Idiot. His voice is done. It's just bad all the way around. Let's get to our heroes and zeros to sum up the rest.
Let's do this. All right. Why don't you start it off with your zeros?
This is going to catch everyone off guard, but Lance Stroll.
We could do an entire podcast on Lance Stroll's performance this week.
That would be awesome. The next one I'm going to go with is the RBs, the V-carbs across the board. I mean, Yuki didn't have a great weekend in general. Danny had a better weekend and then just got taken out. Both DNFs, no points, like expensive crashes. It's just like, man, that I don't think it's necessarily V-carbs' fault, but just what a shitty weekend. And lastly, I got Lewis on there. I'm not really kind of blaming him. I think that Mercedes has some issues. He's got a bad attitude with that Mercedes and he is just airing all the dirty laundry. And it's just like, man, I don't even hear Gasly and Ocon bitching this much. Like,
oh yeah, true. True.
So,
all right.
Those are my three.
My zeros. And I have no issues beating a dead horse. Lance Stroll, I'm going to put him on here again, just even though you did. I don't care. Lance Stroll's a zero.
He's on mine twice now. Okay.
Yeah. Lance Stroll. All three zeros, though. He needs to be stopped. All right. My second one, I'm going to go with Williams. They kind of they were nowhere. They had no pace.
They should be on the mechanics didn't do any work this weekend. It was a good weekend.
Hey, good for the mechanics. But I think what I think is going on with them, they have zero pace. And I feel like their cars are probably held together with duct tape and zip ties at this point.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, I don't know. Logan Sargeant, again, nowhere. Came in dead last, you know, barely above the people that DNF. Alex Albon had a cool helmet, but didn't really perform much.
I didn't really care for the panda helmet.
Oh, I thought it was cool. I like when they're like, oh, let's go back to panda cam. All right. And my final one, I'm going to go with K-Mag. He had the Haas gave him the upgrade package,
yeah,
which I want to be careful about that because last Haas upgrade package went backwards. So
yeah.
I don't know if it was, you know, maybe it was the upgrade package that caused him to be so slow. But then, you know, him hitting Yuki like that, and it's just K-Mag just had a bad weekend, especially when you compare that to what Hulkenberg was doing,
which
Hulkenberg is in the prime, I think, of his career at this point.
Yeah.
He was driving amazingly. So when your teammate is doing that good and you're doing that bad, kind of like Stroll and Alonso, I'm going to put him down there.
I'd like to throw in an honorable mention. I've been watching the past couple of weeks Sky Sports, and this weekend I watched F1 TV, and David Coulthard really made it was lacking in the commentary.
Was it?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the Sky telecast yet.
Sky is pretty good, but last one I watched in Japan, Martin Brundle wasn't there, and it was kind of lacking. So this week I switched over to F1, and DC wasn't there.
Yeah.
It was a little lacking.
Yeah, I agree.
Heroes.
Okay, I'll start off. My first hero, I'm going with Alonso.
Yeah,
I think, you know, he had two great qualies. You know, he DNF'd in the sprint, but not really worried about that. But then his drive, his comeback drive, coming back after pitting and dropping down to P11, that one, what was it, right at the end of the race when he dropped the wheel, just like Carlos Sainz did, right at the end, and just maximum pucker factor, but held it together. Held it together.
Not only did he hold it together, is that before the car was even straight, he had the DRS open and was on it. I mean, he couldn't have lost more than 0.2 seconds doing that, and that was crazy.
And I think the commentators even mentioned it. This is the oldest man on the grid, and he, the reflex speed in order to keep that together when somebody like Carlos Sainz lost it right there. That was incredible.
Yeah.
So Alonso for sure. Lando Norris, I'm going to give him, of course, you know, he pole in the sprint. He held off Perez. Perez couldn't catch him.
No, he couldn't.
Perez, at first, it looked like he might, but he just did not have the pace.
Lando is lapping 0.3 faster per lap consistently.
Yeah. So, I mean, it shows you that Red Bull is fast, but Max is the defining factor for that car right now. Yep. Without Max, Red Bull can be beat. So, yeah, Lando, and they didn't expect to do well. It took the whole team, everybody in the whole team included, by surprise how well he did. It would have been cool to see what Oscar, you know, how he could have come up through the pack potentially if he didn't get involved in that stroll kerfuffle.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Lando Norris for sure.
Well, I think it was interesting. I think that McLaren struggled with understeer in the low speed corners, but which is what they're expecting. But it looked like everybody, including Red Bull, were struggling in those low speed corners. That turn 1 through 4 complex was catching everybody off guard. Everyone was taking different lines trying to figure it out. But I mean, Red Bulls were washing wide. Mercedes was. McLaren was like. They definitely struggled, and I think they were expecting that. I don't think they were expecting everybody else to struggle with it just as much.
Yeah, for sure. And I think for my third, I'm going to go with Nico Hülkenberg, man. He's, you know, qualifying well, like always. He was up fighting at, I think, like P7 at one point during the race. He finished in the points. He's now scored points in 3 out of the 5 races so far this season. And so Nico Hülkenberg is definitely out driving that car. At this point, so I'm going to give him my third and final hero for the weekend.
I think that's fair. We had a little overlap with Norris and Alonso, but I'm going to change him up. Kind of beating a dead horse, but I think it's completely worth mentioning Red Bull and Max. But not, I mean, Max did Max things, that's to be expected, but Red Bull did 2 double stacks. The first one was a 2.1, 2.0 pit stop. Like, they had the fastest pit stops on a double stack. I mean, Red Bull is just firing on all cylinders, and it's impressive to watch. I know it's boring a little bit, and for myself as well, watching Max so far in the distance, but he's just that damn good.
Yeah,
and yeah. I think it is worth mentioning. I'm going to throw Sauber in there. Not the best pit stops. They had a couple slow ones. They had a couple good ones. The pit stops need some work, but the car looked a whole lot better this weekend. They were competing. They weren't way in the back. I'm giving them kudos because they made steps forward. They made progress, and I think that's a good sign.
You're not the most improved.
The most improved, right? And I'm going to, my last one on the fly here, I'm going to give to Leclerc. Leclerc has not been doing really well the past. I mean, he's been doing fine, but Sainz has been a better driver, and Leclerc before the Chinese Grand Prix even said Sainz has been just outperforming him, and Leclerc performed all weekend, beat Sainz outright all weekend, and had a great comeback. I guess he's kind of getting through his Stockholm syndrome and getting his feet back underneath them. And, he did a good job this weekend.
Maybe it's the ice cream.
Maybe it's the ice cream. It's been stressing him out trying to launch his new ice cream.
But also, we didn't really talk about it, but the Ferrari battle during the sprint, how entertaining was that? That was crazy. They actually came together at one point. Yep. Yeah, like you said, he outperformed him or outperformed Sainz this weekend.
Yeah, they do. They look good. So let's get through all of these predictions.
Man, I don't think I did well in the predictions.
I know I didn't, but I'm pulling it up. Let me get our tracker online. This is for China. Okay. So for the sprint, I had Max on pole.
I had Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, swing and a miss on both parts. For P3, I had Checo Perez, which I actually got.
I had Charles Leclerc. I did not.
I had Leclerc in P2, which was Lewis Hamilton. Is this on the sprint?
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton.
Okay, yeah, just making sure.
I had Max in P2.
Yeah, not so much. I had Max in P1.
Oh, good job. I had Carlos Sainz in P1.
My wild card was Ricardo, top 10, and he's number 11.
Oh, just missed out. Well, mine was Perez, 0 points, and he came in
P3.
So definitely not.
Moving on to the race. We've got, I had Max on pole.
So did I.
So there we go. Points. I had Sainz in P3.
Oh, I had Hamilton in P3. Oh, way off on that one.
P2, Perez.
P2, missed. I had Sainz.
And P1, Max. That was an easy one.
Yep, P1.
But Norris, my wild card was Norris top 5.
Hey, good job. Well, my wild card, which I thought was coming true, was 4 DNFs, and then they just put him on new tires and sent old Lance back out to continue his reign of terror.
So close. So I got 6 points. I did better than I thought, actually.
What, I got 2, I think?
So, yep. 17 to 11.
Damn it, I'm falling behind. Oh, I feel like...
spreading that gap now.
I feel like Checo and your Max and the Constructors. All right, so after this weekend, the driver standings, we now have Max extending his lead. He's got 110 points. Checo's number 2 with 85 points, followed by Charles Leclerc with 76 and Carlos Sainz with 69. So Max is extending that lead a little bit. What's interesting is we still have Oliver Bearman in P12 in the standings.
For his one race.
He has more points in Formula 1 than he does in Formula 2 this season.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's hilarious.
And then over on the constructor side, we got Red Bull blowing Ferrari out the water right now, 195 points to 151. And McLaren in P3 with 96. Oh, Mercedes, 52 points. Not looking good.
I just want to point out that Oliver Bearman has more points or equal to than the VCARB, Haas, Williams, Alpine, and Sauber.
Yes, he does.
So, with that, I think next podcast, Kurt, later in this week, because we have a bye this weekend, with the new point structure being rumored milled.
Yes, that looks pretty interesting. So that's maybe coming up in 2025. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that. Like you said, we've got a week off and then we go right back to another sprint race in 2 weeks in Miami.
Be a good time.
It will be. All right, well, if you like this podcast, make sure you leave us a rating and a review and share it with a friend. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Formula_America. And other than that, I think that might be it for this one, Dylan. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right, well, on that note,
stay classy, America.
We'll see you next time.